we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program here on WMIE FM 91.5, or you might be listening on WWBC 1510 AM. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God, and we love to be able to come and spend half hour with you discussing God's Word. Right now, we are talking about sowing to the Spirit or sowing to the flesh. It is your choice. Which one will you sow into? But do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. And so we are discussing this concept of sowing into the Spirit. And yesterday we talked about sowing in righteousness. We're in Hosea chapter 10, verse number 12. I want to take you back to that passage today, Hosea chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse number 13 today, because there is another option of sowing rather than sowing in righteousness. And let's see, what's it say? Sowing in righteousness, reaping in mercy, all of that sounds desirable. Breaking up your fallow ground, seeking the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. That sounds like something we would all want to do. But we're going to look at verse number 13 today, because the prophet tells Israel that there's another option that they've been choosing, and the harvest is not looking like a desirable harvest. I do want to let you know that this coming weekend, on March the 24th, beginning at 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., we will be having a free car wash for our community. Our kids, our youth ministry, children's ministry, they're going to be out there offering to wash people's cars. There will be adult supervision so that they can earn some credit towards going to kids camp and youth camp later this summer. We believe in investing in our men, our women, and we believe in investing in our young people. We don't want them making some mistakes that they're going to have to live with throughout the rest of their life. My heart was broken 2 weeks ago when I was reading a news headline, and it talked about an outbreak of disease that is hitting one particular city in the upper Midwest, up in Wisconsin. And the consequences of that disease are life-lasting. And what was particularly grievous about that news article was the very high, unacceptable percentage of young people in one high school that were being impacted. They haven't even hit their 18th birthday yet in many of the cases. They don't discuss names and ages and all of that sort of stuff. But if you picture high school, many of the kids that are in that high school are going to be battling the condition for the rest of their lives, and they haven't even reached the age where they're old enough to vote. And that is why we do youth ministry. We intentionally prayed and made children and youth a priority for us at Merritt Assembly of God, not just so that we could have a young church. We're probably never going to be the cool church, the it church, or any of that sort of stuff. My cool factor is not determined by other people's standards. I just want to make sure that I have the right relationship that I'm supposed to have with God. So we may never be the largest church, but we want to make sure that the kids that we have that come through our doors, that we get to minister to them and sow seeds of righteousness and holiness in their life. And every once in a while, we get one of those kids that comes back, and they are so appreciative and thankful for what God did in their lives during their time at Merit Assembly of God. We've got kids that have grown up and gone on to minister in some very influential churches. We've had young people who have made quite a difference. I had a young man in my youth ministry down in Melbourne, Florida, who is one of the most effective people in youth ministry that I'm aware of. And so we're just so thankful that we get to be a part of that. So if you want to put that on your calendar, our address is 165 North Grove Street. It will be in the parking lot, which is our parking lot sits between Grove and Parnell, and Tangerine is the north border there. And we'll be making your car look good. It's going to be a free car wash, no expense to you whatsoever. We just want to teach our kids how to serve their community. So with that being said, we want to take you to Hosea, the first of the minor prophets, right after the book of Daniel, verse number 12 and till the end of the chapter. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies because you trusted in your own way, in the multitude of your mighty men. Therefore tumult shall arise among your people, and all your fortresses shall be plundered, as Shalman plundered Beth Arbel in the day of battle, a mother dashed in pieces upon her children. Thus it shall be done to you, O Bethel, because of your great wickedness. At dawn, the king of Israel shall be cut off utterly. So there's another agriculture style that you could implement rather than sowing righteousness, and that is you have plowed wickedness. It goes on and describes a number of things. I want to read another passage of scripture to you. To set the tone today is about things that we don't want to sow in our lives. And there are a lot of people who go through life and they don't really understand that they're actually in the sowing business. I remember having a conversation with a lady she was probably in her 70s back when I had this conversation with her. This goes back nearly 30 years ago. She's long since gone. But she described how in her youth she sowed her quote-unquote wild oats. And the problem with doing that when you are young is you end up having a harvest of wild oats. Wild oats are not anything to be proud of sowing. Those are the things that say, you know what, I sowed a bunch of stuff in my life that I really shouldn't have sown, and I really wish I could have avoided that. But the problem is when you do that when you're young, you end up having children as witnesses as you are watching those things, especially during their formative years. And if we're not careful, it becomes a generational trend where, this is what my mama did, this is what my grandmama did, this is what I'm going to do, this is what my kid's going to do. And God wants to come and break that cycle of iniquity. He wants to break that cycle, plow under that field, and prepare for a proper seed time and harvest in your life. So let me take you to the book of Micah. Micah is right before Nahum. It's towards the back portion of the minor prophets right before you get to Matthew. Let me read for you Micah chapter 6. And verse number 9. Well, let's start at verse number 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? The Lord's voice cries to the city, wisdom shall see your name. Hear the rod. who has appointed it? Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked? And the short measure is an abomination. Shall I count pure those with wicked scales and with the bag of deceitful weights? For rich men are full of violence. Her inhabitants have spoken lies. And their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore, I will also make you sick by striking you, making you desolate because of your sins. That's where we're going to end the well, let me go on. You shall eat, but not be satisfied. Hunger shall be in your midst. You may carry some away, but shall not save them. And what you do rescue, I will give over to the sword. You shall sow, but not reap. You shall tread the olives, but not anoint yourselves with oil, and make sweet wine, but not drink wine. For the statutes of Omri are kept. All the works of Ahab's house are done, and you walk in their counsels, that I may make you a desolation and your inhabitants a hissing. Therefore you shall bear the reproach of my people. In both of these passages, God is talking about sowing iniquity, sowing wickedness, and the harvest that comes about. Now, let me just pause for just a moment and say, make sure that you set your radio for this program tomorrow. The program that I'm going to be sharing tomorrow is one that I am very excited about. It will be life-altering for you and for me if we will allow the reality of God's word to set into us. It will give you a different perspective about your neighborhood, your workplace. It'll give you a different perspective about your church. It'll give you a different perspective about the community. It'll give you a different perspective about God. And so I want to just put that out there. 8:30 of the morning, 10:30 on WWBC 1510 AM, and 5 o'clock again tomorrow evening here on WMIE. So make sure you tune in to that tomorrow. So what do? You plow wickedness, but you reap iniquity. You've eaten the fruit of lies. And he goes on and he says, because you trusted in your own way. There's a number of things that are that bring us into a place where God says it is because of these things that you have sown in an ungodly manner. The first one is iniquity. Do you realize that sin is missing the mark? Last Wednesday night we had, two Wednesday nights ago, I'm sorry, at our boys' ministry, I had a target there, and we gave all of the boys an opportunity to try to hit the target, and one of them eventually hit the target twice. But for our relationship with God, the goal is not to occasionally hit the target. The goal is to never miss the target. Sin, to a large degree, is simply missing the target, missing the mark that God has set for us. And, you know, because we miss the mark so frequently, we tend to want to lower the standard and celebrate when we occasionally hit it, instead of repenting of all of the times that we have missed the mark. He says, you have reaped iniquity. You have plowed wickedness. We live in a very wicked world. I saw a headline, the teenager down at Parkland High School or whatever, Stoneman Douglas High School down in Parkland, we would look at that and we'd say, that's horrible, that's awful, that is wicked, and it is. Whenever you see the term Beth, B-E-T-H, Aven, A-V-E-N, whenever you see that word in the scriptures, understand that what that place is, it means the house of wickedness. The house of wickedness. Beth means house. Aven means wickedness. Now we look at it, and many times we'd think it might be related to the word haven with an H on the end of it, which means a safe place. But Aven in Hebrew means that it is wickedness. And there are too many safe places for wickedness in our society. There are kids who do not know what is right and what is wrong. I mean, it's tragic to hear the deception and the bondage that impacts people's lives, not just young people's lives, but the tragedy out in Las Vegas and all of that, the Pulse nightclub shooting and all of that, just terrible wickedness where people are literally plotting and scheming and planning on doing ungodly and unimaginable things. And there's a harvest of that. You don't want that. That's not going to make your life better. That's not going to get you into God's heaven. None of that stuff. And you know, I have a different mindset than most when people do these horrific acts and they, you know, all of a sudden the perpetrators are crying out for mercy and all of that sort of stuff. Well, you know, I pray that they do come to repentance. I pray that they do come and accept Jesus as the Lord and their Savior, but they have deprived a lot of people of that same opportunity. So, you know, you're not going to get my most merciful dispensation, you know, when you have created unmentionable acts. But I will tell you this, God is a merciful and forgiving God. And so thank God I'm not God. Thank God you're not God. You're probably thanking God that I'm not God, and I'm thanking God that you're not God. But I thank God I'm not in that position, because he's so much better at it than I am. Do you realize that Ahab was one of the most wicked kings in Israel? He took a nation that was supposed to be worshiping Jehovah God, and they were worshiping Baal, and they were worshiping Asherah, and he was persecuting the priests of the Lord. Israel had become a safe haven for wickedness, and God sent Elijah to say, you know what, the seeds that you've sown, there's going to come a day of reckoning, and you're not going to like that. This is what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, Ahab repented, and God said, have you noticed how Ahab has repented? Now, later, he ended up reverting back to his previous ways, but there was a moment in his life where he captivated God's attention because of his repentance. And so I pray, if you've sown seeds of wickedness, if you have sown seeds of iniquity and you're now reaping that iniquity, the price tag of that in your life, cry out for mercy. Cry out for God to come and plow that field under. David sowed seeds of sexual immorality with his encounter with Uriah's wife, whose name was Bathsheba, and then ended up having Uriah murdered to cover up his immorality. And as a result of that, there was dysfunction in David's house from that point forward. Amnon raped his own half-sister, whose brother was Absalom. Absalom, to get back at that, had Amnon killed. Absalom was just a marvelous piece of work. He was arrogant, egotistical. He was a spoiled brat. And, you know, he sent for Joab at one point in time to have Joab come at his beck and call. When Joab didn't respond, Absalom sent some of his men and burned down Joab's field. Joab was also a piece of work. He had his good moments and his bad moments, but Absalom ended up burning down Joab's field, and Joab said, "Why'd you do that?" And he said, "Well, you didn't come when I called you." And then he rose up in rebellion against David, committed sexual sin that was forbidden in the law of God, and then expected that God was going to bless that. Then Absalom was killed, and then when it came time for David to die, there was Adonijah, who rose up in rebellion against Solomon, and that did not end well for him, for Joab, or for the man who had cursed David as he was fleeing from Absalom. You don't want to sow those seeds. It goes on and it says, because you have trusted your own way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. You cannot trust in your own way. The only successful way to sow spiritually is to trust in the way, the truth, the life, and his name is Jesus. So sow good seeds. Do not trust in the multitude or the numbers of your mighty men. This was a reference to the military might that one has. And I will tell you, as I was doing a preparation for tomorrow's broadcast, I read where, and you will see this over and over again in the scriptures, where the people with the greatest military strength lose the battle because God intervenes. There were many times the Egyptians were the greatest military force on the planet, and a bunch of slaves defeated them by the hand of God. There, the Assyrians would gather against the Jewish people and against the Israeli people, and they would be defeated because of the hand of God. And it did not stop there. There are many times where a greater military force is defeated. One of my favorite histories, I believe his name was Sergeant York, who with just himself managed to capture, I believe it was, let me not just embarrass myself. I was thinking it's World War One. Ends up capturing an entire enemy group of soldiers, and it was just him. It was just him. It was a phenomenal military conquest. He was outnumbered and outgunned, but he was the one who was victorious. And so do not trust in the size of your bank account, because one day it can be there and one day it can be gone. If you learn anything from the Depression, go back and look at that. People who were on top of the world, and then the economy crashed, and then all of a sudden they were jumping out of buildings because that which they had trusted in was now gone. Do not trust in your great intellect, because that scientific fact that you are so sure of may be proven wrong tomorrow, and then you will go from one of the great minds in history to one of the most embarrassed minds in history. If you go over to Micah chapter 6, you are going to find that in verse number 10, God describes that one of the things that is leading up to their sowing and not reaping was the fact that they had dishonest business practices. They were constantly cheating. They were cheating the person that they bought from in one direction, and they were cheating from the person they were selling to in another direction. When they would buy from a vendor, they would bring out a heavier stone so that they would get a greater quantity of supplies. And then when they sold, they would use what would be known as a short measure, so they would give away less than what the person was actually paying for. And then they would pocket the difference, and that would be their profit. He said, "Shall I count pure those with wicked scales and with a bag of deceitful weights?" God is not going to bless a business that utilizes dishonest business practices. Whether that's a household, whether it's a church, whether it's a company, treat people fairly. Do not defraud your neighbor. It goes on in verse number 12, and it says that sowing and in such a manner that you will not reap has to do with her rich men are full of violence. That is, where they are literally intimidating, manipulating, and taking advantage of those who are defenseless to help themselves. Listen, the standards of God's justice are the same for the rich and for the poor, for men, for women, for the young and for the old, for those who are politically connected and those who are not. It is the same for every race. God is a God of justice and righteousness. Okay, it is who he is. It is his nature. It goes on and it says in verse number 12, her inhabitants have spoken lies and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Lying is an art form for many. There are people who their mode of operation is lie unless telling the truth is to your advantage. You only tell the truth whenever it is to your advantage. But the rest of the time, and listen, I have been around people who embraced a lie, who have told lies when there was nothing to be gained from it. Listen, when you are using deception, when you are not telling the truth, you are not representing God well, and you are sowing ungodly seeds. So there are people who go to school to learn how to lie better. I don't ever want to be known as a successful liar. In fact, I go around with this mindset that if I am ever tempted to lie, there is a great big neon sign that appears over my head with arrows pointing down and saying, lying, lying, lying. I just don't do it well. Thank the Lord. If there's one thing to be a failure at, it is being a failure at telling lies. If you want to be successful, be a person of truth. If you want to sow good seed, then sow truth and not lies. Treat people with fairness in the way that you deal business with. I've learned some lessons through the years on dealing with people. And I tell you, I would much, well, I won't say that. I won't tell you. But there are some people that I prefer to do business with that you might not think that they would be the type of people that you'd want to take do business with. I would much rather deal business with a person who is going to treat me the way that I'm supposed to than a person who says they're going to do one thing and then they do something else. That's not the way that I like to do business. Don't sow those seeds because you don't want to reap that sort of harvest. If you don't want people lying to you, don't be lying to other people. And I'll just close out today by telling you this. One of the easiest persons to lie to is yourself. And you don't want to do that either. Listen, you've got a little bit of a window there to deal with the problems as they are. Deal in honesty and you'll reap a much better harvest. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio program. Until then, have a blessed day.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.